Welcome to the AI Ireland podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kelly. Delighted to say that we are speaking about AI in healthcare today, and our guests are Kevin Marshall, Head of Education at Microsoft Ireland, and Dr. Patricia, Professor of Biochemistry at University College Dublin. I'd like to welcome you both to the show today, Kevin and Patricia.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Patricia, tell us a little bit about your journey to now.
Great. So, Mark, I'm a biomedical scientist, and I've been interested for many years in the small, tiny little platelets that circulate in our blood. And the really understudied thing about these platelets is as they circulate around in our bodies, they pick up information in real time. And if you like, they sense our environment. So what they store inside them, or their cargo that they have inside, is a really ready source of biomarkers for, if you like, the health status of an individual. And my team has spent the last 20 years investigating this cargo, and we've used it to, I suppose, reinvent how to find diagnostics in the blood.
Which is an absolutely fascinating space. And we could probably dedicate another podcast to how you actually kind of got into that field and your observations. But we're here to talk predominantly about AI Premi. And tell us a little bit about that for people who don't necessarily know much about it.
Yes, so I suppose I'll have to start with telling you about what AI Premi is focused on. It's actually focused on a disease known as preeclampsia. And preeclampsia affects one in every 10 pregnant person, and it causes 50,000 deaths of mothers and 500,000 deaths of babies each year, and another 5 million babies are born prematurely every year. And this has a huge effect, I suppose, on their life, as sometimes babies can be born as early as 26 weeks of gestation. So there is currently no test to rule in preeclampsia. There are tests available, I suppose, to tell clinicians when a pregnant person does not have preeclampsia, but there's no test to actually rule in preeclampsia. And that's what AI Premi actually is. So AI Premi is a combination of patented biomarkers that we have found through our work in platelets, together with patient information about the patient and risk assessment data that has been brought together using, I suppose, the power of artificial intelligence. And what this does is this can tell a clinician when a mother has preeclampsia, but it can also, if you like, predict the future. It can also help a clinician decide when to deliver that baby and predict the patient's outcome.
And it's incredible to note that there is no new diagnostic test for preeclampsia, and the figures that you mentioned would probably be an underestimation. And it's such a worrying time during those pregnancies. And I do know that from my own experience with my partner and wife, that when we had our sons, we had that experience of preeclampsia, and you have to make sure you're monitored very, very carefully through that. And throughout the wide world, they may not have access to, you know, very, very comprehensive hospitals as well. Tell us a little bit about the multidisciplinary nature of the team and the collecting and utilizing of data. You did have the small matter of a pandemic to work through too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. So we just started this project with a very small team, actually just started at the end of 2019. So we had the biomarkers from platelets already established in a previous project. And so a very small number of us came together just before the pandemic hit to look at the need for this test. And we were working at the time with just two of the Dublin maternity hospitals. But now we've expanded this team to work now with all three Dublin maternity hospitals, which covers 50% of all the births in Ireland. And we are currently collecting patient samples of women with suspected preeclampsia from each of these maternity hospitals. And so as we started collecting data, I suppose we needed to bring more we needed to bring, I suppose, more people on board. So we brought statisticians on board, experts in machine learning, experts in data analysis, experts from technology companies that we're involved with. So this really became an incredible multidisciplinary team. And I suppose each one of us on the team is I suppose, oriented in terms of providing a solution for these women, providing a solution for the clinician, trying to give information to the clinician, at the right time.
What really inspired me was how collectively you all had a vision coming from different types of backgrounds, but you found a way to all to come together, and technology was a nice enabler for that. I remember off air you were telling us about how those 4 p.m. calls, everyone came together. You could be at a Lewis stop, you could be at the kitchen table. People just showed fantastic discretionary effort to make it work.
Yeah, it was actually because I suppose when this project really kicked off, it was during the first lockdown, and I suppose, you know, it shouldn't have worked, but it actually did. And coming together online on Microsoft Teams or Zoom calls, this was a real enabler to actually bring the team together. And I suppose that actually, this kind of digital transformation that was forced upon us almost by the pandemic actually really drove this project forward. And we really, really, I suppose, it allowed us to all come together, because the people that we have involved on this project, you know, sometimes the obstetricians that were, you know, on the call would have to take time off during our team calls and go and deliver a baby. But the technology allowed them to come back on maybe 30 minutes later and join the conversation. So those team calls really, I suppose, were what absolutely drove this project. And it was just bringing those, all the different disciplines together. And we were really at the edge of so many disciplines in this project. And that, I suppose, was really the enabler here.
It's really a good example of design thinking in practice, and walking a mile in other people's shoes, and, you know, so much empathy with that approach. And you just get a vast different types of perspectives. Tell us about some of the results.
Yeah, so We had to collect a lot of data keep everything GDPR compliant. The interesting thing is about the data that we're collecting, you know, some of the hospitals have electronic health records, others don't, others are still on paper. So, you know, I suppose it was good to be slightly naive at the start, I suppose, as the principal investigator on this project, that we would have come across so many hurdles. But I suppose the people that we have involved in this, I suppose we were very lucky to so many doors were helped and opened for us. And also working in the platform that we're working in, is that we were bringing this information together in the cloud, so using Microsoft Azure, and we're running all our analytics and machine learning analysis using the SaaS Fire platform on the Microsoft Azure cloud. So that was really an enabler to be able to do this, and we're making sure we're all completely GDPR compliant. But I suppose where we are now is that at the end of the initial pilot project with 150 collecting the data and looking at the biomarkers in over 150 women, we've really compelling preliminary evidence that our technology works I suppose in a real world environment. And so just a couple of months ago, we found out that we came runner up in the Science Foundation Ireland, which is one of the major funders in Ireland for academia. So Science Foundation Ireland Future Innovator Prize. And this has enabled us now to go on to the next phase, where we're basically collecting the data on up to 400 women. And the team has expanded now to just bring in more experts in different areas. And everybody is really just focused on trying to get the AI premium algorithm, if you like, to every woman in the world who needs it.
It's fantastic to hear how you've taken that pilot project and then built on it, which is really, really nice to see in action. Kevin, as the head of education at Microsoft Ireland, you're leading a team of dedicated professionals committed to enhancing the quality and teaching of learning using technology. You know, this is a really interesting example of a silver lining of COVID in terms of technology being an enabler to bring so many people together, but also being able to think outside of the box as well. Tell us about some of the work that you're doing and your experience of companies like this.
So, as you said, I run education for Microsoft in Ireland, and we work across various schools, universities, charities in a variety of different ways, helping them think about how technology can improve what they're doing. We have a really strong focus on education, particularly in primary and secondary schools, where, you know, prior to the pandemic, schools just come into us for a 3-hour session on complex problem solving or computational thinking or just projects. And obviously during the pandemic, we've had to shift that to the virtual world and today continue to do that. So and over the last 3 years, you know, we've engaged with close to 100,000 kids and worked with RTE to put all that content up online, you know, got some funding from SFI to really look at the challenges facing families in access to all this, to learning in a pandemic, given that there was, in certain aspects, there was quite a dearth of access to technology and content. So, I mean, the point here is that, and linking back to what Patricia's talking about, is technology is a great enabler to do two things. One, to solve particular issues as we face them now, but more importantly, if you think about going from 150 patients to 400, that's a scale issue, right? That's what the technology can do. That's what the cloud is about. And part of my work is to work with institutions across the country and across the globe to think about how we might do that in a much better way, in a more streamlined way, and do it together so that we solve the problems together with both multiple universities and multiple tech partners. Because I think one of the key effects of the COVID is that we are now, from a society perspective, have had to step back a little bit and think about, actually, there's probably a better way to do this. There's probably a much more humanitarian way that we all need to think about. And I think projects like this are exactly what we need to be doing. And we have technology that can support that. And I think that's the journey we're on. And I do think there's a huge crossover between actually education and health, and to train, to have a pipeline of talent, that multidisciplinary people that join Trish's team, you need to start and encourage the 6-year-olds to begin thinking about technology, to begin thinking about machine learning, to begin thinking about AI. And then part of our job is to impart those skills to them, and then they can decide what they want to do. But the mistake would be is not to expose as many kids to all this great learning and technology so that we can avail of it down the line.
Yes, it's making that information available and then pinpointing that there was a problem with that, and then getting the impact. Because if Patricia and team want to make that impact worldwide, they need to be able to scale and take that proof of concept, that pilot, and go to the next stage and building that foundation with GDPR and making sure you're utilizing the data as best you can. What I love about this example is looking at everyone else's place of strength and complementing everyone's skills, and then using the platform to actually facilitate that to bring in success as well. Dr. Patricia, there was some other research with COVID in the first wave that was quite interesting that came about as well.
Yeah, so again, we worked in the Azure cloud, and again, we used the SAS Vive platform to run the analytics and the machine learning in Microsoft Azure. And what we did was we collected data from all the COVID patients that came in collaboration with the Mater Hospital during the first lockdown. And we used standard blood test analysis to look to see, could we predict how on the day of admission to hospital, could we predict how that patient's COVID infection would progress? Would they be able to go home in a couple of days, or would they need intensive care?
Kevin, does any other examples come to mind that'd be worth sharing that you've kind of seen recently on the island of Ireland that would give you kind of good hope for what can be built on?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of very interesting projects that are been funded by SFI and also Department of Enterprise through the DTIF project, our funding mechanism, whereby trying to think about disruptive and creative ways of using AI and machine learning in the area of clinical trials. So we are working with another university in that, thinking about how you use blockchain and AI-enabled technologies to rethink the notion of clinical trials and how that could be used. So there, obviously there's particular areas around data governance, and then actually the technology blockchain, which is, you know, it's been around for a while, but the use cases of how that could work are emerging. You know, I know the other really interesting one that Microsoft is involved in, and I know you've had this on earlier podcasts, is the whole terrain AI project and the notion of carbon sequestration, which I think is really, really important. So there are a couple of examples of that, and I think you'll see over the next number of months this increasing. And I think what is really important on, from a Science Foundation Ireland perspective, is that we're focusing work on sustainable development goals and focusing on the health side of the house in looking at ways of where we can have a bigger impact across the globe. I do think in my own particular area, in the area of education, in the area of assessment, there's small stuff moving, but I think that to me is the big area of opportunity for this whole new education and technology integration, and how we rethink education, how we rethink exams, and how we think about democratizing knowledge in its much wider sense. I mean, I think that's the really exciting part. And actually, I think there's a lot of work going on north and south as part of the shared island goals. And I think that's really exciting. So there's much to look forward to. There's much hope. And I think one of the things over the last 2 years is what we've noticed is just the acceleration and pace of the science enabled by the technology in a way that I think probably would have taken us 5 or 6 years to get there. So that's the really exciting part for me.
You've been listening to the AI Ireland podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kelly. In today's podcast, we've been speaking about AI in healthcare, specifically pilot study AI Premedy, which is using AI to prevent preterm birth due to preeclampsia while protecting mothers' lives. I'd like to thank our guest, Kevin Marshall, Head of Education at Microsoft Ireland, and Dr. Proficia, Professor of Biochemistry at University College Dublin. Thank you very much today.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much, Mark.